Welcome here to each and every one of you. I just wanted to mention that our church wants to support our young people beyond high school and whatever else they take on in life. And we realize that there's challenges in this life, and we actually have a fund for Christian higher education. Actually, that's, well, my term for it. I actually forget what it's called. But if you're going on to some sort of Bible school, then inquire at the office and you can apply for a bursary and be supported in that. We recognize in this congregation that that's training for life. We sometimes want to rush right away and train for a career and whatever else. But Bible school and Bible college and all of those things, it's training for life. And it can really keep someone on track for a long time. So we want to get behind that and support people in that. So yeah, contact our office and we'll help you access that fund. Got a topic this morning here. It's the last chapter of Nehemiah as we end the Return and Rebuild series. Returning to God and rebuilding and rebuilding a worshiping community, a community of people focused on God. And right in this last chapter, it kind of ends on a low point, really, here as we head into chapter 13. But boy, does it ever speak to our culture. Because there's an epidemic of this topic going on in our culture. And this is a topic that'll derail and has derailed many lives. It leads to death in a lot of ways. And it destroys lives, and it destroys families. And it's a horrible thing. And this really horrible thing has a nice name. In fact, it even has an okay definition as part of it, but it has a horrible definition as part of it as well. Katrina, somebody or other, the quote comes up there. There are things that are okay to compromise. There are things that are okay, are not okay to compromise. Life is about learning the difference. Compromise is our topic this morning. And the people in Nehemiah's day compromised. I mean, there's a positive way to do this. There's a time to compromise in a relationship. We don't need to break relationship over some of what we fight about and argue about. It's okay to find a middle ground. It's when we compromise what's foundational to life that it really derails us. When it compromises a commitment we've made and a way to live, when we compromise our ethics and our character, our integrity, it absolutely derails life. And there's incredible, horrible consequences to it when we compromise in this sense of the word. Would you join me in prayer as we get into this topic? Heavenly Father, yeah, I'm just really convinced this is a topic that speaks to me. It speaks to every one of us here. It speaks to us as a group, as a congregation. Will we compromise on what is really important? I pray that we wouldn't. I pray that we would see the warning signs and run from compromise. Would you give us the courage to take on life as you've promised it, to really follow you? And would you lead us into some of your truth here this morning? You are the truth giver. We need to hear your voice. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. People of Nehemiah's time. Nehemiah's built the wall. They had great success. Nehemiah returns to his job as cupbearer to the king, one of the close confidants of the king. And the people, while he's gone, have compromised spiritually, relationally, and in their obedience and surrender to God. They've compromised it. Let's look further at compromise in that negative sense of compromising who they are in God. A definition for compromise, well, actually it's a definition of osteoporosis that gives us an illustration of compromise. This is a skeletal disorder characterized by compromised bone strength. When compromise enters in, it weakens what's supposed to be strong and leads to other conditions and consequences. Tom J. Thomas writes, "No compromise. Do what is right. Be valiant for the truth. Teach it without compromise, and all lovers of the truth will approve you. For all others, you need not care a rush." We cannot compromise the Word of God. When He says it, it's true. We need to get in line with it. And this is the journey of Christian life. It's a battle for truth against lies. But those lies seep into our lives in different ways. And much of it comes through compromise. Compromising what we already know, right? Most of Christianity, Christian life, is not about information or lacking information. It's lacking transformation, lacking acting on what we already know. Speaking of a woman, Charles Finch says, "Her strength was in the integrity of her actions. She never compromised what she believed she ought to do." Right? We've known some people like that, that have lived 70, 80 years, and they were always the same person. We could take it to the bank how they were going to act in a consistent way. And that's not what the people in Nehemiah's day did. They didn't act consistently. They did while Nehemiah was leading them, Ezra and Nehemiah leading them, bringing them back. They're repenting. They're aligning with what God has for them, allowing them to receive the blessing of God. Nehemiah leaves and they turn and go their own way. They compromise. When you have to start compromising yourself or your morals for the people around you, it's probably time to change the people around you. This is so serious, it is worth breaking relationship over. See, because compromise is insidious. If you're following along in your bulletin, that's the first. It's very insidious. It's not suddenly stepping from a pretty good life into murdering or into adultery or worshiping idols. It's not so extreme. It just slides in there. It starts to color things and taint them. Insidious, a couple of definitions here. Beguiling and harmful. Beguiling. It's intriguing. We almost can't take our eyes off it. It is very tempting. We'll catch the last part. But harmful. It's intended to entrap. It's like having a bear trap set up there. And we think, ooh, that's compromise. Well, this won't really hurt because it's all covered over with trees and whatever else. And whatever's in the trap looks enticing. But it does. It entraps. It ensnares. Working at spreading in a hidden, and it says usually injurious way. I don't think that's an accurate definition. It's an always injurious way. It's always intended to bring injury. Compromised truth are lies disguised as truth. But we start to fail to see how dangerous it is, this journey of compromise. They're opposites, but in the moment it seems okay. Like the woman who said before, who is quoted to have said, "Before marriage, I did not compromise my virginity, but I did compromise my purity." And there's steps and there's pieces where compromise enters in, and it has a detrimental effect. Oh, but it's not the whole thing. Yeah, those detrimental small steps have big consequences. Jesus got this point. He understood that it's not stepping all the way over there, right? He equated hate with murder. sometimes, well, hey, I'm not murdering anybody, but we're content to let hate fester in our lives. And we fail to see the full color of it, the full consequences of compromising. This is what God has said is true. And yeah, but I can justify it. But I've got a reason for it. He also equated lust with adultery. If it turns the heart, it will also turn our lives. And we won't be walking with God anymore. We'll be walking our own way apart from God. It seems so different to us, though, doesn't it? Lust and adultery, hate and murder, all the other ways of compromising. But they aren't that different, and they lead to the same consequences in a lot of ways. And we justify, right? We know when we're taking an action, we know when we're compromising God's best and going our own way, but we can justify it. We make up excuses. We reason it away. We fail to see just how insidious, how intent on bringing harm it is. And we give in to consequence, give in to compromise. It's horrible, and it makes the horrible seem acceptable. Did you hear that? That's what compromise does. It makes the horrible seem acceptable. We celebrate with our grads this morning. What are they going to do in a few years? Will you compromise in one area of life or another? Right? Compromise puts us off by a few degrees. Keep down that road, we end up in a far, far different place. It's destroyed many, many lives. It's insidious. It's also insatiable. A word that means it'll never be satisfied. Never satisfied. Can I invite a few people up here to volunteer? Now that I got this terrible topic on the ground here, you don't even know what I'm going to do with you. Whatever, 2 to 5 volunteers want to come up? Nobody trusts me. Trust me, today you do want to come up. There's something good, well, something good for you to make this point. My boys trust me. Who else will come up? Right, Emery's coming. Actually, I'll have you come right down here on the floor. Come right over here. Oh, that's good, that's good. You guys got lots of you now. See, today you do want to be up here. Oh, we got people joining here last minute. All right, I'll give them to you. You can hand them around, and everybody can take one and then just stand there. Just stay there. You can turn around so everybody can see you mowing down on those yummy things. Everybody take one? No? Ah, handfuls. I know whose son that is. Everybody get one? Oh, look what flavor they are. Oh, look at taking some more.
I love it.
Look at, they're still taking them. And they are, hold it. You're gonna make a big mess and then I'll be in trouble with you know who. Our custodian. Here. You're going too wild. Take your hands out. Take your hands out. Hey, wait, you only took one?
I only took one.
Here, Josh. Okay, who can I trust? We'll let you hand them around. And they are Lay's, by the way. Remember the old commercial? Bet you can't just take one. Compromise is like that. Bet you can't just take one. It's never satisfied with just that little step. And they're going crazy. We better have to let the savages. You guys almost done? I tried to get it at the smallest bag possible, but I could have got a monster. There. You guys are fighting over a bonus. Way to go. Did you have a few?
I don't think.
Well, you better get in there and have some more. All right, thank you. You guys can sit down. After they lick the inside of that, I got a mess to clean up here. I mean, that's a fun whatever snack for these guys. Don't get too close to mom. She might confiscate them. He's got to stay out in the aisle. But in a really harmful way, that's compromise. We can't just take one. Have you ever gone on a long drive where you got a bag of peanuts, sunflowers, whatever sitting beside you? Doesn't this get to be the common action? I was driving to Saskatchewan some years ago, actually when I went to Bible school, when I was first heading down there. I figured I'd save money for Bible school and whatever else, so I made a lunch to drive from here to Ontario. I've got a whole bag of loaf of bread made into sandwiches, bag of apples, orange. By the time I'm crossing into Saskatchewan, 3/4 of it is gone. I go, what am I doing? So I chucked it on the floor on the passenger side, so out of reach. I'm just driving along eating because it just, whatever, it's natural. But compromise is like that. It's insidious and it's insatiable. It's never satisfied. We take that little step. We start to compromise, right? We're asked the question, well, I'm just going to embellish the truth a little bit. I'm just going to stretch the story, right? We've got so many polite ways of saying it. Oh, that's just a little white lie. Not realizing it leads us on a journey. And we become more and more comfortable with untruth. Right? Oh, I'm just going to fudge these numbers a little bit. And compromise. Once we start compromising, there's detrimental effects to it. And it reaps havoc. Compromise will take you further than you ever thought you would stray, will keep you longer than you thought you would stay, and will cost you more than you ever thought you would pay. I tell you, I've done street ministry for years. I've been in pastoral ministry for years. I've met a lot of people that have said, how did I ever get to this place? You talk, you hear their stories. It started with one little compromise years before, but it sets them on a journey. In what ways are we compromising in our lives? And we're playing around with this as if this isn't true. Oh yeah, no, it's not really that bad. No, it's absolutely insidious. Compromise is that bad. Oh, but I can always control it. I can always stop whenever I want to. No, it'll never be satisfied. It's insatiable. But we justify, we make excuses, and we have no idea that we really are playing with death. It is insatiable, it is insidious, it's also observable. It really is. People can see. We usually know in our own hearts that we are taking those little steps, but it's even much more clear to those around us, right? They can see it first. And people who really love us will come alongside and go, dude, do you know the direction you're setting here? If we're wise, we will take counsel. We will actually hear those words of wisdom and respond and take that opportunity to nip it in the bud, to battle out of it in the early stages. And it becomes clear over time. Most often, it becomes really clear over time. But hopefully we don't have to go a long ways down that road. Like I said, if we're teachable, we will hear from one another. We really do need community because we can deceive ourselves. The heart is deceitful. Who can trust it, the scriptures say. We're trusting ourselves far too much and trusting God far too little. We need to trust Him more and His people more because it is observable. It can be seen. and the destructive nature of it can be seen, but we'll downplay it. It's not that bad. I'm okay. And we start to put on a front. My marriage relationship, yeah, it's not great, but it's okay. And we justify, we justify, we justify, rather than taking serious action towards health and wholeness. Eliezer allowed the enemy of God and the enemy of Nehemiah to move right into the temple, Sanballat, right? You recognize his name. We've heard it a lot. Move right into the temple and occupy a room, a place of influence. And he isn't a worshiper of God, so he's not influencing people to worship God. This isn't cultural. This isn't about excluding certain people groups. This is just simply allowing a person who's intent on not following God to have a major role in the community that's supposed to be following God. And Nehemiah returns. He goes, "How can this be?" And he's angered by it. Aren't we angered at times when we see an influence into one of our children's lives, our friends' lives? We can see the horrible influence in their lives, and we are angered. Because we get how insidious, insatiable it is, and we can see it clearly. Remember, compromise will take you further than you ever thought you'd stray, will keep you longer than you ever thought you'd stay, and will cost you more than you ever thought you would pay. How did we ever get here? I've heard it dozens and dozens of times. How did I stoop so low? I've lost everything. And where did it start? By being open. The weird thing is, the people didn't start enter into it, "Oh, we're going to walk away from God." But they failed to follow wholeheartedly. Why was the room even empty? It was the room where the tithes and offerings, the Levites' portion, was supposed to be. But the room was empty. They'd ceased following. And it opened them up. When we cease to actively follow God, we are opening ourselves up to fill it with something else that will never be satisfied. And there's horrible consequences to it. People I've met with, "How did I get here? And now I'm paying the harsh consequences." But there's some good news in all of this. See, because we all fail to some degree in this, don't we? We all compromise in one way or the other. Leaders fail, parents fail, we all fail, and we continue to fail, we compromise little pieces. The wise and the teachable will take a couple of steps, and someone in their loving circle around them will point it out. "What in the world am I doing?" They turn and repent, and they return to God, hopefully quickly, and we get quicker and quicker as we mature, hopefully. Because we don't want to compromise. We want what God really has for us. But we're all at risk of taking a few more steps, of hiding it, justifying it. But any of us can overcome it in Christ. Because in Christ, compromise is conquerable. It doesn't get the last words, just like any other sin or death. Jesus has overcome it. It's conquerable. And there's opportunities to wake up and really see and allow God to bring victory over whatever is deceiving us and enticing us, and we're taking those steps. It's conquerable. We can conquer. It may seem like an impossible mountain that we're climbing, but it can be overcome over time and by God's power and with His people. Even an ingrained habit, an addiction, a compulsion can be overcome by the power of Jesus Christ. And there's some clues to this. There's some keys to this. One is to be direct. Have a direction. Like I said, the people of God ceased following God wholeheartedly and left things in their lives open, places in the temple that had a significant purpose that were to lead them into right relationship with God. They stopped doing those things. We start to compromise. What area of life is open where we're not wholeheartedly following where God is leading us? That's an open door to compromise. Nehemiah might seem strong, but we should also be concerned about the things that dishonor God and be willing to take definite action. We also need to distinguish between peacemaking and compromising with evil. As I said earlier, this is a balance, right? We compromise in relationship in all sorts of ways. We can give in, we can compromise on things that don't really matter, but run from the things that are truly evil. Run from them. Those things that mock God, that defy God, dishonor God, will lead us astray. And as I said, most often we need people around us to help us really see these clearly. Don't give ourselves a way out of doing what is right. Be intentional disciples following where God is leading. Because if it turns our hearts, it will turn us. And it must be conquered. We must battle against it. Battle for truth. Not be deceived. There was a young man in the World War I who came to faith in Christ while he was serving in the military. And he's really growing in the Lord in those first few months, and the war ends, and he's actually full of fear about going home. As far as he knows, he's the only believer in his family, in his group of friends, whatever else. And will he slip into his old life? Will he compromise the truth he's come to know? Or will he live faithfully? And he's afraid of it. And he goes to a counselor, whatever, what do you call those guys in the military? Chaplain, thanks. Goes to the chaplain and he says, I'm afraid of this, going home. What would you recommend? And he says, be bold, declare it, be direct, right in the beginning. The first 10 people you see upon getting to where you live there, getting off the train, you declare, I'm now a follower of Jesus Christ. The very first 10, just be direct. Say that you've declared your direction. I mean, isn't it awesome when we have a baptism and people stand up in here and say, whatever happens, I'm choosing to follow God today. And they declare their direction. Be direct about it. And he did. He went home and he was confronted by person after person. Some of them walked away and went, this is too weird for me, man. I'm inviting you to party like we used to do. And you're saying you follow Jesus. So it broke some relationships. He didn't have to break any relationships. Some people chose to break a relationship with him. But he stood on it. He was direct. He was clear. This is who I am. And he could always love them from that position. But it was far less of a temptation to compromise, because everybody knew who he was, who he truly was in God. And he didn't compromise, he was direct. Second, if we want to conquer compromise, we need to learn discovery. Life is a journey of discovery, and we need to discover things and be open to that. What are our convictions that we've made, and how do we follow through on those? Have we articulated them? Are we direct? Often, they know where we stand. Really? Do they really? Have we been that clear? And then learning that discovery of getting into the conversations, allowing people to speak into our lives, and going, wow, I thought I was doing this, but I'm hearing the truth from your words right now, and I have a greater understanding. It's a discovery of who we really are, just how fallen and broken we really are, and how much we need one another. Or we will, of our own, choose compromise. It's asking why, like young kids do. It's discovering at deeper levels why this isn't so enticing to us. Why is it such a temptation to us? Why, whenever I'm filling out one of these things, do I want to fudge the numbers? Why do I want to shortchange God on tithes and offerings? Why? And asking why? Because we need to dig down to those bottom levels to get our true motives and repent at those levels. That's where real transformation happens. And that's a learning to be discovery, going on that journey of discovery. Because we need to discover the lies that we're believing. Because at the core, we're probably not trusting God. I can't live without whatever it is. We're believing a lie. I won't be happy without whatever it is. And we're not trusting God. Hold it. This is who God is. He loves me better than I can love myself. He knows me better than myself. He's got incredible plans for me. But in the practicality, this is how I'm not trusting Him right now. I'm trusting in myself. And it leads to compromise in one way or another. You know, there was a woman I know of. I actually know her really well. She's a real delight and encouragement. When she first started attending a church that we also know very well, she would lie. In fact, she was looking for people to feel sorry for her, and she would tell lies about her ex-husband. Oh, he stopped by last night. He was again there at between 2 and 3 a.m., tapping on my window, scaring me. Well, there was another couple in that church. They were in their 70s, well into their 70s, but they loved her enough to go protect her. And they sat outside her house all night in their vehicle. And they saw her the next day, and they said, "How was it last night?" "Oh, there he was again. Tap, tap, tap. Scaring me." And they caught her in her lie. They caught her compromising the truth and telling the lie because she didn't believe she could live well. She needed what these people gave her in feeling sorry for her. And they pointed it out and they said, "Actually, we sat outside your house all night last night. And we know he didn't come by." And they continued to love her on a journey, and it still slipped out. There was times where she would still lie, slip into the old habits, but they loved her through it, and she discovered real relationship is far, far exponentially better than the relationship that's built on a lie. She discovered the truth in the process, and she really grew from that. We need to learn how to journey with one another in that kind of process. Because we all have those areas where we want to put on our shades and not see just how the shades of gray that we're getting into and compromising in our own lives. We need to be direct. Here's who I am. I choose to follow God. And everybody around us can hold us to that standard. Not in a punitive way where you're going to get shunned and all sorts of stuff. It's in a life-giving way. I'm clear about where I'm going. I'm on this journey of discovery. I think I've mentioned it here before. It was when I was in seminary studying more to be a pastor where I saw even deeper how sinful my own heart and mind is. But it also allowed me to build things into my life so that I don't need to give in those areas of life. I put in wise parameters around me. Are we that direct? Is there an area of life where we're compromising right now? Do we have the courage to enter a life of to learn discovery? A lot of times we don't even want to know the truth about ourselves, do we? We'd rather live in the fog because it's too scary. But to conquer compromise, we need to. Further, we also need to set the direction. We actually need to take a step towards life, towards making a change, as that woman did, to start speaking the truth, to identify the lies that she's been believing, to make a step. Compromise is one step at a time. In an unhealthy direction, conquering it also is one step at a time. We need to act on what we know. in growing strong. Chuck Swindoll quotes Phil, I don't even know how to say his name, Rizzuto. He worked for a radio station. And they tell the story of when Ralph Houk was the manager of the New York Yankees baseball team. And the schedules used to be even worse than they are, or than they were. Double headers constantly, almost every single week. And sometimes a player would come up to the manager and he'd go, "Hey, manager, you know, can I sit this game out? I'm just tired of the schedule, whatever else." The manager would wisely say, he would give them permission to sit out a game, but he would also put one request to them. He would say, "Would you do one thing for me? Would you play one inning?" Almost all the time, by the time they'd played one inning, they were into the game and they were going that direction. We need to encourage each other to stay in the game, to take one step. Are you trusting Jesus right now? And take that one step. And often we start to grow in our courage and our faith, and we can continue moving in that direction. But will we take that one step, set that direction, and move? We get in the game of life as God's called us and invited us and challenged us and commanded us. Will we live as a disciple? This leads to my last point. It is being direct. It's clear. I am a disciple. It's learning discovery, applying that being a disciple to every area of life in an ongoing way. Learning how amazing God is and how sinful we are, and still choosing to follow Him in the midst of it, taking that one step at a time, and to live dependently. I said it earlier, we trust ourselves and our own thinking way too much, and we trust God way too little. Will we seek Him and reach Him, reach out to Him? We are dependent on God's sufficiency in this if we want to overcome compromise. Creation is not independent of God. Acts 17 here. From one man He made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out to Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. In the midst of it, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to either go our own ways in compromise, and in some months or years we go, "How did I get so far off course?" But it's also an opportunity to discover the reality and the power of God right in our lives as we depend on Him. That He's not far away at all. He's with us every step of the way. He loves us when we're taking steps in this direction. But when we allow Him to lead us, we open ourselves up to His strength and His power, and we cultivate a dependence on God over time. As we respond, we recognize, wow, this is insidious, this is horrible, this is insatiable, this is the way I'm going if I'm left on my own. God, help me. And He most often does. He does it most often through people. He does it through His Word. He does it through all sorts of ways. If we'll be teachable, if we'll take that first step and at least admit where we are. That's where step one is admitting I'm headed this direction. In fact, I still want to head this direction. Will you help me? And we admit to someone and they walk with us and we experience God conquering compromise in our life, giving us His, leading us to His good and pleasing and perfect will. Are you trusting God this morning? Or is there some area of life where there's compromise? An integrity issue of honesty, of desires. He's given us desires. Often it's a legitimate desire that we're meeting in an illegitimate way. Where are we this morning? We need to take a stand. Be direct. Here's who I am on that journey of discovering what this means in my life right now. Be willing to take that first step of admitting, here's where I'm at, I'm headed here. And fully engage the life. Don't leave those rooms empty, because they will be filled with something. But actively follow as a disciple. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin. Sometimes we think that's the victory. Ooh, I've avoided murder and adultery and whatever else. But it's not about cautiously avoiding sin, than about courageously and actively doing God's will. Are you a courageous and active follower of Jesus Christ this morning? What's it mean to be a disciple? It doesn't mean, oh good, yeah, I know Jesus is the Son of God, and then I go on and live my own way. A disciple is someone who follows actively. This is the best way to avoid compromise. So we're actively following. Jesus has incredible things for us, but at some level we don't really believe it. And it shows up in our attitudes and our actions of compromise. But he's inviting us today, right this morning, to trust him anew and afresh again. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we distort this. I distort this in my own life. I pretend that compromise doesn't have the consequences that it does, that it's not as insidious and unharmful as it is, that I can choose whenever I want to go another direction, but it will never be satisfied. That's the truth of it. And I need help around me that people would see clearly for me. We need community. Would you help me open my life up to people enough that I would gain an accurate picture? And then that I would have the courage to follow you into conquering this horrible enemy called compromise. I would be clear and look for opportunities and make opportunities to declare that I am your son. I'm one of your disciples. I would discover in an ongoing way what that means. And I would find ways humbly to set that direction, to take a step of admitting, of taking a step towards you, crying out to you, and surrendering in an ongoing way to live more dependently than independently. Father, I pray for some here this morning. They're in this struggle. They're in the habit. It's become a habit of giving in. They feel condemned in themselves. It's a mountain too hard to overcome. It's something too shameful to admit out loud. Father, would you give them the courage to admit it to themselves, to you, and to someone else? You want to conquer it, but there's the first step of admitting where they're at, and allow you to bring the freedom and the movement towards healing and wholeness. Would you give each of us that courage as we enter into this week? In fact, if someone's here and they're dealing with something, God, I pray they'd have the courage to share it this very day and not to put it off. Reveal those things in our hearts, our minds, our lives. And help us take action. Help us commit right now to taking the action that is necessary. Not in and of ourselves, but in your power and in your spirit with your body. We want to follow you, God. We want to be a church that is filled with your disciples, actively pursuing you and your best for us and those around us and this community. Yeah. In all of this, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen.